My name is Brian Kelly and I work at UConn at the University of Bath. This talk on blogs, wikis, podcasting and all that, Web 2.0 enabling your organisation, will give a brief introduction to some of the popular Web 2.0 technologies and, by a number of examples, illustrate how use of such technologies can be of benefit to institutions. Please note that a Creative Commons license is available for this talk and the accompanying slides. Also note that the slides and accompanying resources are available on the UConn website and also on the SlideShare repository. In addition, a podcast of the accompanying talk is also available. In this talk, after a brief introduction, I'll describe how I make use of blogs, wikis, and podcasts, and social networks to support my various work activities. I'll conclude by summarising some of the barriers organisations may face in deploying Web 2.0 technologies and provide some suggestions on how such barriers can be addressed. The UK Web Focus blog is now one of my main channels for engagement with my user communities. The blog is available at the URL ukwebfocus.wordpress.com. This blog was very easy to set up using the hosted WordPress service, and on average I post about 3 to 4 articles per week. As well as providing me with a valuable dissemination channel, the blog enables my user communities to respond to my posts. When you're setting up a blog, it can be important to clarify its scope, including the topics to be addressed in the blog, the target audience, and the purpose of the blog, and associated best practices for ensuring that the blog is fit for its purpose. In my case, the blog is about the web, including web standards, web innovations, and best practices. The target audience includes web developers, practitioners, and policymakers in the higher and further education communities and the cultural heritage sector. The purposes of the blog include dissemination, getting feedback and engaging with my users, and thinking out loud. Encouraging the blog readers to respond to posts helps to ensure that the content of the blog is appropriate for its target audience. In addition, various usage monitoring tools can also help to ensure that the blog is fulfilling its purpose. For example, I have used the Blotter tool, which provides a graphical display of statistics from the Technorati service. I'm pleased to note that the UK Web Focus blog has seen a steady growth since it was launched, and based on the Technorati statistics, is now ranked in the top 50,000 blogs. With a total of about 70 million blogs, this places the UK Web Focus blog in the top 0.1%. I've also found it useful to make comparisons with my peers. In my case, I observe how I compare with the eFoundations blog provided by EduServe, Scott Wilson's blog at CETUS, and the Talis blog service. These are some of the simple techniques which can be used to monitor the effectiveness of a blog service. There is also the need to measure the impact and not just usage of a blog. This is an area I intend to address in future posts on my blog service. So to conclude this section on blogs, I found that the UK Web Focus blog provides a very effective means for me to engage with my user community. My only regret is that I didn't set up a blog many years ago. I use blogs to document my thoughts on various issues and to get feedback. In contrast, I provide wikis to enable participants at events I organise to share their thoughts and views and to participate actively at the events. In the past, I've used the Wetpaint wiki, which is available at www.wetpaint.com, to support quite a number of my events. For example, I use this wiki service for this year's Institutional Web Management Workshop, the annual 3-day event organised by UConn. The workshop participants made use of the wiki prior to the event to make contact with fellow participants in arranging places to meet when they arrived at the event, on the night before the event started. The wiki was also used during the events to support the various discussion groups. A reporter for each of the discussion groups was provided with a page on the wiki for use for note-taking during the discussions and of the various recommendations which may have been made. This had the advantage that the notes weren't trapped in the closed world of flip charts. Instead, the content could easily be repurposed and shared with a wider audience. The wiki was also used after the event. It was used to provide feedback on various aspects of the workshop. In addition, the wiki could be used to upload additional content related to the event. For example, a number of videos of talks at the workshop were taken and subsequently made available. As with many Web 2.0 services, the wiki provides an RSS feed which enables changes made to the wiki to be easily accessed. For some time I've been using the SlideShow repository service. My PowerPoint slides are available on the UConn website, but uploading a copy to SlideShow enables me to reach a wider audience and to provide additional functionality at no cost to myself, such as SlideShow's annotation facility and the ability to embed the SlideShow in web pages, blogs, etc. The community aspect of SlideShow is also useful. I can see the users who add my slides to their list of favourites and then see other SlideShows that they might like or have produced themselves. A relatively new feature of SlideShow is the ability to embed a soundtrack with the slides, which can then be synced with the slides. I've done this for this talk, so that as well as attending the live presentation or downloading the PowerPoint slides, you can also listen to the multimedia presentation, which can easily be embedded into web pages and blogs. And this soundtrack can also be used in a podcast. This is an RSS file which allows an MP3 file to be easily syndicated to MP3 players. The software needed to do this is all freely available, and I don't even need to install software locally. This allows me to get my ideas and thought out to a much larger audience than will attend the one-off live audience for the accompanying talk. Clearly this provides various accessibility benefits as well as minimising travel costs and my personal carbon footprint. I also provide access to my blog, my slides on SlideShow, and information about what I'm doing and my interests using the Facebook social networking service. This is useful as Facebook is so popular, it can help me reach new audiences, and it is also useful in allowing me to keep in informal contact with my peers. Web 2.0 technologies, blogs, wikis, etc. allow me to be much more effective in my work, and I hope the examples I've provided illustrate ways in which these technologies may be useful for others. But what about the barriers we may face? These might include general conservatism towards new ideas, concerns about use of or reliance on third-party services, legal issues such as privacy, security, copyright, etc., and finding the time to learn new ways of working and resources to provide and support new services. My response to such challenges is based on the suggestion made by Lynn Brinley, the Chief Executive Officer of the British Library, at the Umbrella 2007 conference, in which she suggested Web 2.0, just do it. Well, how should we do it? Well, I would suggest we start by developing various scenarios to explore future possibilities and their implications. One possibility might be that Web 2.0 will just go away, and we don't have to worry about it. But how likely is this? It may be that the Web 2.0 environment, along the lines I've described, becomes ubiquitous, in which case we'll need to actively engage with this, and we'll find the effort just as we did in the past when, for example, mainframe computers died, PCs became popular, and then network services grew in importance. On the other hand, there may be unexpected developments. What if Facebook or Google becomes bankrupt? Or what if users start to move away from popular services such as Facebook? In such cases, we will need to develop risk assessment strategies. Please note, though, that the risks should also include the risks of doing nothing or in continuing to use existing working practices, as well as the risks in using new tools and new approaches. We will also need to develop associated risk management procedures. This might include migration strategies for moving data and services, or in some cases there may be a willingness or a preparedness for a service to be lost if the value in using the service while it is available outweighs the costs of not using the service. And within the educational sector, I think we should be willing to embrace a culture of openness. Let's encourage reuse of our content and data and share our experiences. And finally, I would suggest that we need to avoid the spurious arguments for failing to engage with Web 2.0 and lines such as, it's just a marketing term, or blogs and wikis are just full of garbage, are often used as ways of refusing to engage with the rich benefits which Web 2.0 can provide. And I would like to conclude there. Thank you. This is Brian Kelly from UConn, speaking on Tuesday, the 14th of August, 2007.